Now, you got to understand, when I know I'm about to have sex, I'm not, it's certain things I don't eat. I guess I treat the date completely different. So I had to adjust my whole day pending whether or not she wanted to do it or not. That's how married I am. I was prepared. And then she goes.
Hello, my name is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we're here with episode 187 of
How Married Are You? Okay, my name Belief is Izzy Bet. We married 13 years. Live in California. We got four kids. Relationships scary. It's very necessary. We share our lover struggles. We ask
how married are you?
Every Tuesday and Thursday, shawty. If you're listening, you're in the wedding party. It's okay if you want to put your hands up. You got the questions. We got the answers.
It's chocolate baby story time.
Chocolate baby story time.
It's chocolate baby story
chocolate.
Time.
1, 2, 3, and... All right, so boom. The other night, I'm putting the kids to bed. We're going over the Bible story. And Raya just interrupted the story, right? We're reading like through Proverbs. He interrupted the story and he goes, "Dad, did Adam and Eve ruin it for all of us?" And I'm like, yeah, you know, kind of. You know what I'm saying? But we would have done the same thing if we were in their situation. And he was like, "I wouldn't have done it." And I was like, bro, he's so overconfident. That's one of the things that's kind of most annoying, is that he's confident, but it's overconfidence. So I was like, Raya, what do you mean? He was like, well, if God told me not to do something, I just wouldn't do it. Mm. I was like, Raya, remember the time. This is me. Here we go. Mr. Receipts. Remember the time I was sitting there and I set you up with that Reese's cup, and the Reese's cup told you not to have any of it, and you ate some of it? He was like, well, I only took a bite. I was like, that's what happened with Adam and Eve. they only took a bite. But yeah, it was really funny.
Oh my goodness.
What you got? What,
so the kids are sick in this moment in time, and they're kind of completely out of it, like really out of it. Uzi is... you know, I don't even know if he even knows what he is, because he's kind of zombie-like as he's walking through the house.
Yeah.
Well, this morning he was in our bed at one point, and I thought he was still in our bed. And so I was like, oh, Uzi's in our bed. And then the kids were like, no, he's not. Theo's like, I saw him in the bathroom. And then Anaya said, oh, he's sleep on the floor in my room. And so I go about doing whatever, and then eventually I'm like, oh, let me go check on Uzi. So I go upstairs, and I like can't even open the door because his foot is like blocking the door from being open. But then when I finally open the door and I reach in and I grab his foot and I move it. Y'all, this boy is like, he doesn't have any underwear or anything on. He's just got his penis laid out on the floor. He's like on his stomach on the floor, and it's just butt cheeks.
Yeah.
And he's asleep. Like, he is asleep. I'm so confused as to how that happened, how he ended up there. I think he probably took off his diaper and was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
But he was out of it.
You sent me a picture.
I sent you a video.
A video of it. And I just was like, it looked like it was like, you want to see a dead body? And this man was just laid out. He looked like, he looked bad. It was like, man, what happened? Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. It was very sad.
But welcome black, y'all.
Welcome black.
We just want to let y'all know that we enjoyed seeing your faces at How Made Are You Live. Those of you who came through, it was such a momentous occasion. But let's not leave it there, okay? We do have another event coming up in September, hopefully, right? September 2024. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But in the meantime, if you just can't get enough of seeing us, make sure you buy the e-course. Premarital Advantage is available.
Yes.
For those of you who are in no relationship at all, or courting someone, or think you got a boo you might want to take to the next level or anything like that, the Premarital Advantage is our... e-course that is basically a supplement to premarital counseling or any type of just deep work you need to do with yourself before you get into a relationship. My wife and I teach you all these things, and we love for you guys to join us on that journey. So make sure you buy that now. I think it's like $250.
Yeah, something like that.
$250. You can go with it, and it's a whole workbook. It's fire.
Yeah.
You need to make sure you go through that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, the premarital advantage. Yvette, we have a topic today. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and get into it.
All right, we have a couple of emails that I would like us to get into.
Make the font bigger.
I don't know which one I want to do first, though. So, you know what? Let's just do this one. It's open. Excuse me. Sorry. Couldn't get to the button. I think it's funny because it says, what topic do you want to cover on the show? And it says, marriage in a fishbowl. That's the topic. It was through the website thing.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, greetings, Yvette and Believe. Let me start by saying, I'm not sure about doing this, but I'm doing it. I simply feel the intuition too. I'm a mom of 6 boys. My husband and I have been together for 12 years. He travels for work and I'm home. I'm a home manager, aka stay-at-home mom. I'm not writing to complain or seek advice or a concern. I really would just like some fresh perspective. My husband and I have what I call a quagmire marriage. I'm going to need you to look that up because I don't know what quagmire is. With quite a bit of attrition. Oh my gosh, these are a lot of big words. What's attrition? What's attrition? Y'all could tell.
Okay, so
I didn't
quagmire
read
is
this before.
A soft body. A soft boggy area of land that gives way underfoot. That's not. Oh, an awkward, complex, and hazardous situation.
So. Oh, okay. And then attrition is the action or process of gradually reducing the strength or effectiveness of someone or something through sustained attack or pressure. Okay.
Okay.
Wait, so let me read that sentence again.
Yo, shout out to our audience, man. Y'all educated, man.
I always tell myself, I need to read more books so I can expand my vocabulary.
No, but our audience is pretty smart.
Yeah,
like,
they
we're
are.
Not dealing with a bunch of people.
No.
Right. We're not hanging out with our friends. No offense. I love my friends.
I do not align
with
that
We don't
statement.
Use a lot of big words like that in our friend group.
I do not align with that statement.
All our friends are geniuses, first of all.
All right, so let me reread that question, that sentence. My husband and I have what I call a quagmire marriage with quite a bit of attrition. Mm. It is full of quarrels and peace treaties. Oh, I could have just read the following sentence and got I could have got context. She helped me out. Oh my gosh, I can't hear myself. What's
like
happening?
I said before, we don't be listening. And we don't be using big words or reading past the sentences.
I do use context clues, but I just forgot to keep reading. Anyway, we have good, healthy arguments. I'm so confused. I feel like this is all whatever. But we have good, healthy arguments and disagreements. Also lay peace treaties. Babe, what does that mean? What is that?
What? Lay peace treaties?
Look at that. What does that mean?
Also lay peace treaties. I don't know. That's a grammatical... equation.
No, I don't. It says also and then dash and then L-E and then colon.
So I think she's saying we have good, healthy arguments and disagreements. Also, peace treaties. I think she's just being fancy there.
But I think the lay means something. Anyways, y'all just talk to us like we're 8th graders.
Yeah,
you know how you go chat GPT?
You know, you chat GPT this. That's what they did. You chat GPT this whole conversation. And I just TP'd. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but you're making us look worse.
Okay.
I am too, all right. But whatever. There is just an ongoing issue of unintentional social transgressions.
Okay, we know those words.
We have a running joke between us. It's funny. About me and a house hand. What? About me being a house hand and him being a field hand. I cleaned that up a little just in case.
I understand what he's saying.
What was she saying? Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Okay, I got you. I feel you. We have a running. Okay. Still, our cultural and social economic differences have a real effect. We are steadily working through them and there is growth. Yet there is much that continues in need of understanding and reconciliation. I often recall advice from my mother when I was starting to date. She reminded me of the elders' wisdom says couples should be evenly yoked. Then I viewed that as judgmental. Now I realize it was not about better or best, dating up or down. It was about principles, morals, and values. I just got goosebumps for some reason. It was about compatibility and cooperation, a willingness to grow honestly together. With that awareness, I still find myself mumbling and griping while cleaning. We are two petty Pisces in the same house. Janking is like flirting and fighting words all at the same time. In truth, I love my husband and we are good people. The work of bridging our gaps is long-suffering. Very much 1 Corinthians 7:13. Look that up. Ride or die type goings on. What? Ride or die type goings on.
She's writing from like a...
This sounds like
a novel.
Yeah, this sounds like Redeeming Love.
Yeah. Yeah.
By Francine Rivers. I would not recommend it the way many a past sermon has. What? I would not recommend it the way many a past sermons have. But here we are. It often seems as if we just never went from girlfriend and boyfriend to husband and wife. My grandmother once warned me, there will come a point in your marriage where you'll be better for so long. A divorce just doesn't make sense. You have put too much time in, so you rest in that groove. I am 40 and he is 48. We not old for that groove, but we still together. And I'm not saying I want a divorce, but I am hoping to find a better groove to settle in.
Oh.
She's a poet.
This is poetry.
You know what? If you're listening to this episode, it wasn't you, it was me reading through this. I feel like if I can go back, I could read it beautifully.
Okay. Yeah.
But I won't do that.
1 Corinthians 7:13 says, if any woman has a husband who is an unbeliever and he consents to live with her, she should not divorce him.
Oh, so is he not a believer, you think?
I love my husband and we are good people. The work of bridging our gaps is long suffering. Very much 1 Corinthians 7:13, ride or die type is going on. Yeah.
And they're 12 years in marriage.
12 years in marriage and 8 years apart.
What do you mean 8 years? Oh, 8 years old in age.
So
she didn't necessarily have, she started off by saying she doesn't have a question or anything.
Yeah.
But
yeah. It's like, Galatians 6:9, don't be weary in doing good work, right? For you reap a harvest.
That one came to mind today.
You know? Mm-hmm. That's like my everyday.
I know.
Because I'm weary. I'm weary. All day. And so I think that this reminds me of our conversation we had before about the quiet ears.
Mm-hmm.
And that choice you made 12 years ago, 13 for us. We still are making that decision every day, every week, every month, every
hour.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's still a choosing to pursue that.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it does get tiresome, because I think a lot of people lack vision to hope for.
Expound on that.
So I remember early on in our marriage, we didn't have necessarily a plan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was kind of like, whatever you're trying to do, I'm down. I remember your plan. You wanted to be a teacher. You were a teacher. You were like, I think I'm going to go the administration route, and I'm going to become the Secretary of Education of the United States of America. Remember that?
I remember that. That was
hilarious.
And
I'm just sitting there kind of like downloading. And I'm just like, okay, well, I guess we'll be in D.C. or something.
I probably would have just gone to state.
Yeah. And so that was like really, like, I thought that was the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
That's so funny.
I'm like, okay, well, it made the days less long because I knew that we were going for we'll probably do this for like 10, 15 years, and then maybe she'll transition to something else. Mm-hmm. But I knew it was something I was going to have to get used to, so my mode was becoming Grin and Bear It. Yeah.
Okay, keep going.
Or not even like Grin and Bear It, but like it's only hard for now. It'll get easier. You'll get used to this. That's what I thought.
Kind of like when you're working out the first week or first month and you're always sore.
Yeah.
And then after a while you're
like, this don't hurt. I need to do something different, you know? And so I was getting really good at being stay-at-home dad to my level. I knew when there was times when you were pushing me like, hey, come to the games, come to this event and support me as the ASB director. I'm like, I didn't sign up for that. I signed up to support you while you go. Right? Mm-hmm. So when you started asking me questions about what I wanted to do with my life and what my plan was, I was like, what is this? What are you talking about? Mm-hmm. You the one with the plan. Mm-hmm. I'm a rapper. Mm-hmm. I'm a creative. I'll figure it out. Something's going to happen. But we don't make plans. We just work the system. Mm-hmm. You know? That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. That's not true at all. Mm-hmm. That's not true, ladies and gentlemen. If you are creative, you need a plan. Email through us. Join the Belief in Good, belief in good.org/join, right? Is our community meetings where we help people, good people do good work, and we teach them things that I've learned through 7-8 years of doing this brand stuff, building brands and all that stuff. And whether you have a personal brand or you have a business, you should definitely have a plan. And we help people find those things and assist nonprofits through that. But I was kind of taken aback when I realized that you were asking me for leadership you weren't asking for that, but that's what you were inquiring by asking those questions, those accountability questions. Mm-hmm. And so the difficult part is that it doesn't seem like she has anything to look forward to.
Yeah.
You know? And I think those times are hard. What happened when we did get a plan, and I was like, okay, this is what I want to do with my life, when you asked me that question, that what's your 5-year plan, right? And I'm like, I don't know. And you're like, I trust you, my family, my future, and you have 5 years planned out. What is wrong with you, essentially? And I had to go figure out the solution to that. I got a plan, and then I realize I have to move forward with this plan, and we have to come together and build something different. So now that we both have a goal and we know that we want to do family retreats, couple retreats, and we want to have people and be a safe place, a safe haven for people, it almost feels like the stuff that we're going through now are badges of honor. Okay. Want me to hold your hand? Don't do anything. Just ignore you? Okay. So it almost feels like the stuff that we are going through in this current moment of time are badges of honor, degrees, lessons, and a level of, hey, I understand. You'll be fine. We're going through that now. You know what I'm saying? And so it makes the ground not feel like quicksand as much. It makes it feel a little bit more sturdy. Okay. I'll talk to you like our therapist would. Our therapist would say, Yvette, I can see you're responding to that. Would you like to say anything?
I don't know why I just got super emotional. I think it was because I'm like, some badges I just don't want.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't need that badge. So take it back. I don't want it.
So I have to say this because like I feel like I was talking to my therapist this morning and I don't know how this relates to her, but I'm sure I could tie it back in because that's just what I do. Okay, let me see what this concept is.
I also have something to say to you.
Oh, okay. You want to go ahead? I think you should go because you haven't talked.
Well, I was going to say that, like, as someone who, like, set out, had a goal, was like, from, I don't even know. My mom says that I had started talking about becoming a teacher when I was in elementary school. But as someone who always was, like, working toward becoming a teacher, ASB director, and all the things, and then actually made it happen, and then, like, left my career, just completely left it. Never looked back. Actually, I look back sometimes. And then, like, became a stay-at-home parent. So, like, feeling like I had worked toward a goal, accomplished said goal, enjoyed the goal, and was feeling fulfilled in all these things. Then I became, what does she call it? A house, what does she call it?
Oh, a house hand?
A house hand. Then I became a house hand, and I'm like, this don't.
First of all, I don't like that terminology. Because if there's a house hand.
Okay, she also called it a house manager.
And there's a field hand, there's also a massa. And we ain't slaves to nobody. Okay? We off that.
All right.
So let's change the terminology here.
All right. She also referred to it as a house manager. And so, like, as someone who is now a house manager, there are days, kind of like today, where I'm like, I was literally on my hands and knees wiping up vomit. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of like, I didn't sign up for this. Mm-hmm. Like, when did I get reduced to this? And it's not necessarily reduced to it. I love being able to serve my kids and my husband and my family, but I just, like, I understand. Like, sometimes when you're in the thick of those days and those moments, it's like, what do I even hope for? Like, what am I doing with my life?
Yeah.
Like, is something going to matter at some point? And so I think, like, for me, there are times when I get a little bit, I won't even say a little bit, there are times when I get, I don't know if the word self-conscious or guilty or insecure about dreaming.
Yeah.
About what I will do in the future, or like what I will do when I'm through this season, or even like in this season, there are things that I want to do and accomplish. And it's like, is it all right for me to work toward those things? You know, like, I feel like sometimes as female house managers, we believe that this is what we're stuck with in this moment. And we don't necessarily aspire to other things because we feel like we don't have room to, or there's no space to do that. And I think that is also something that can be helpful in seasons like this, in those quiet years, is to, like, start to think about the things that the Lord might be stirring in your heart and in your mind. I know that some women who are now, like, empty nesters have, like, books that they've written in these years. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or even just from diaries that they've been keeping in these years, that they have now created this, like, beautiful masterpiece that encourages and inspires other women. And so I think that sometimes we have to be mindful of, like, it's okay for us to dream or aspire.
Yeah.
In the midst of being a house manager.
Yeah, I was listening to this, and this is very controversial.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to this Instagram podcast. You know how toxic these things can be these days?
Is it hot in here because the AC is not on?
It's a lot of lights on.
Oh, okay.
In here, and It is hot, and it is what it is, and I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
It's getting hot.
Is that over there, Brandon? Yeah. So I was listening to these people talk, and they were saying, like, yo, a lot of times you hear women say they're stuck in a season, or they lost themselves to motherhood, or lost themselves to parenting. And then, but they don't think about what the man loses, right? So after, say, you know, I don't want to do this anymore, I'm going to get a divorce or whatever, right? And they split up. The woman still has access to family because she's had a relationship with the family the entire time. But the man gave away his time with his family to work, so he doesn't have the relationship with the family. So he kind of lost himself to work. So there is a mutual losing in some regard. You're smiling.
Am I smiling?
You're, like, smirking as if I'm...
My I can feel my face doing something. I don't know what it's doing.
So what was that for? Was that like, are you kidding me? That's what it looked like.
I don't know what it is. I don't really know how I feel about that. I think I need to sit with that thought.
Well, I heard it. And so one of the things I heard,
so you agree with it. Is that what you're saying?
I would
Do
say
you align
that,
with that
I would say
assessment?
That, I would say that if right now, right, something wasn't to work out with us,
mm-hmm.
and you would go, I'm done with this, right? We would get a divorce and the kids would go with you, most likely. Would that be accurate? Are you crying?
No, am I okay. crying?
Are you sad? Does that make
No, they'd go with me. I was just
daydreaming about it, dreaming, fantasizing.
No, I know this is a horrible thing to say. Don't cancel me, but I started following this single mom who, like, every other week her kids are with the dad, and I was like, a week off of parenting.
She's like living it up.
Like, do you know what I would do? But yeah, never mind.
Yeah, so I'm saying that, like, the kids will go with you, mm-hmm. but you would still have the family. You would mm-hmm. still have the same access.
You mean, like, to the extended family?
No, to the kids.
And so would you.
Yeah.
When it's your time.
When it's my time, but they would be with you more primarily, and I would have to build more of a relationship with them. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm. Oh, you'd have to work to, like...
Like, know them. Because they have more access to you at this point. You know what I'm saying? So it would be like, it'd be different. But what I'm saying is, in both of those scenarios, and what my therapist told me this morning, it was so sad. He goes, but it's true. He goes, what if, like, it is you? Like, what if, like, he was like, you know, you keep looking for someone to come help you and help you with this company and this business. It's like, what if it's just you? I was like, nah, man, like, everybody has a number two. Everyone has a this or that. He was like, yeah, but you're doing something that nobody's done before. And he was like, no one's coming to save you.
Mm.
Like, no one's coming to help you through this season. Did you know that? And I was like, wait a minute. He was like, you remember how, like, he was basically saying, like, you remember how, like Israel had God, but Israel wanted a king?
He knows the Bible?
Yeah. So he's like, you know, Israel had God and Israel wanted a king. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's like, basically, he said this. He didn't say it like this because he didn't want to hurt my feelings, but I said it back to him and he was like, yeah. So he was like, you know, if God is who you say he is, you don't need anybody else.
Oof.
And I was like, oh. And I just realized that in this season of life, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to accomplish, it's not going to look like what we expect. You know what I'm saying? And so when you have a major calling on your life, or you're in one of those major relationships that require a lot of attention and care, it is going to be as difficult as you think, you know? And so even for this lady, as he's talking about settling in the right groove, like, sis, that is exactly what it is.
You know, what you just said reminded me of what Christine, one of the trainers at boot camp, says. She's always like, I know it's hard. Let it be hard. And it's interesting because I feel like we don't like hard. We like soft. What's the word that means soft? We like soft. You know, not soft, but we like it to be, you know, like, comfortable. And it's in the hard where the growth happens. It's in the hard where, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I think, like, I don't know. I feel like in the season like this, it is one of those things where you have to let it be hard, but acknowledge what about it is making it hard. Mm. And then how can you grow from that? Because I think you said you guys have, it's full of quarrels and peace treaties. But what are those things? like maybe taking an assessment of what are those things that are always you're always quarreling about.
Yeah.
In order to figure out like how to move past that. Because I think sometimes when we take an inventory, it's really valuable. But I think also, because I don't know, I'm picking up from this email that she might be a believer and he might not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do believe that that does come into play and it makes things extremely difficult.
Yeah.
When your belief systems do not align.
Yeah. But also, it, like, I think even on a bigger scale, there's almost like this longing to hope for something. Like, she's like, what am I looking forward to with this?
Mm.
You know? Because it's like, if he's a believer, if she's a believer, he's not. It's kind of like, okay, am I hoping to convert this person? Or, like, are we looking, you know? And maybe she's kind of daydreaming about, like, dang, what if I married someone who did believe what I believe? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always, like, this thing about the other side. And so we are almost never really content.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, this is what we chose.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're called to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's hard work. And yeah. That's just what it is, you know? And there are great days. Like, they're great. There's days where we see a lot of success and we see a lot of movement, not only in business but in relationships. And we believe our people are our people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other days where you're just kind of like, yo, what am I doing, you know? Why is this so difficult and why is this? But I do think that, like, when you're really called to do something, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you feel it every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, for this lady right here, I believe that it is worth the work, I think. But I can only say that from my perspective, married to who I'm married to. For you, I don't know, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that that's the cost you got to count for yourself. You know, I definitely don't think anybody should be giving up on marriages and stuff like that. Because unless I understand it's more difficult if he was a believer and is not anymore. But if you married a person who wasn't a believer, like, what did you expect?
Yeah.
You know? And same for me with this stuff I'm dealing with. It's kind of like, we got 4 kids. What do you expect? You know what I'm saying? We have, you're trying to make a business off of families reconciling, and what do you expect? Don't you think if it was that easy, everybody would have did it already?
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. How married are you?
I think I want to convert how married are you, like, and, like, pose a question to the audience. Can I do that today? Why are you looking at your watch?
Is it because you don't have anything to say? You don't have a how married are you?
No, because I want to bring something up and talk about it.
Okay. Okay. Some things are essential to the brand. And we don't move from that. If you want to add something additional,
okay,
I think that's okay. But for me, I get weird about it.
All right.
OCD.
Okay. I'm so married that.
But pose your question first.
Well, I just want to know, like, how married are y'all? Are y'all out there giving your significant others hickeys? Like, what is it with that? Mm. What is that about?
Fine. Let's go there.
What is it about?
I don't know. No. Go ahead.
I'm asking you.
You want to know why I gave you a hickey?
Yes.
I was caught up in the throes of passion.
Mm.
Lay
passion. I feel like you know how to do it and you know how not to do it.
I just be caught up, man. I just be in there. Just in there. You're not thinking about
okay.
The pressure. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like the PSI of the suck.
What?
Oh, let me turn it down. 40 okay. PSI.
Yeah.
No.
I need you.
I'm just in there.
Okay.
All right, fine.
I'm so married that I am so married. I don't know.
How married are you?
I'm so married. The other night, we changed things up, and I cooked. I made shrimp and broccoli pasta. And
you did.
It was good.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Glenn wanted pasta, and I made that for him.
Okay.
All right. How married are you, my love?
I'm so married.
Here we go. He's smiling already. That's not a good sign.
So good. So other night she goes, hey, I want to start up our sex schedule again.
Oh, gosh.
She goes, yeah, we're going to get on schedule. I said, okay, cool. When the next time you want to do it? She said, tomorrow. And I said, okay. And I was like, well, you have therapy tomorrow. She was like, well, yeah, sometimes I'm not into it, but I'm sure I'll be into it tomorrow.
No, I didn't.
No,
I said.
No, she said, be ready.
No.
Be showered is what you said.
I did. But listen.
But check this out. What does that mean?
No.
Are we having sex or not? I need to know.
Wait.
There is no.
How married are you? What is this? What is this? This is
this is my time. I'm talking. So are we having sex or not? That's the question, right? So she kind of put me on this like maybe. And I was like, okay, well, cool. Well, then you initiate if it's going down, right? And she's like, okay. Next day.
Babe, that's not how it went down.
I'm showered.
Babe, no.
I'm sorry.
No, wait.
I'm still talking. She.
I need you to tell the full story, though, babe.
I don't know what the full story is.
I said, just be showered. If you're ready, you don't have to get ready. But then I said, because I have therapy, we don't know what kind of mood I'll be in afterwards. So I don't know, but just be showered.
Now, you got to understand, when I know I'm about to have sex, I'm not, it's certain things I don't eat. I guess I treat the date completely different. So I had to adjust my whole day pending whether or not she wanted to do it or not. That's how married I am. I was prepared. And then she goes, babe, maybe that night she comes, she's like, maybe Wednesday, maybe Thursday. Oh, man, I don't know about that. Maybe, I don't know when the next time we're doing it. So I'm supposed to shower every night and eat differently every day. Lord Jesus, help us. Okay.
And that's just how married we are.